practicing. And she's like, I'm just practicing for after I actually see.
Oh my god. I mean, I saw the trailer and it did capture my attention and it did capture my eye. I mean, Marvel, generally, they're good with superheroes. Like, we'll give them that. But, like, I haven't really watched the movie. But, yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know what to expect. I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm like, it's America.
I know what you're saying. And on the trumpet, we're going to be looking at the culture of music and dance in clubbing. Where did it all start? And where is it going? Where is it now? There's so much detail. I swear you guys are not ready for this. And finally, we've got withdrawal symptoms with your usual weekend calendar. So stay tuned for the buzz.
Hey, you're listening to The Hangover, and this is Tafadzo Tarumbwa hanging out with the one and only queen, the Queen Dre.
So The Buzz is a Marvel movie which apparently has an all-African-American cast. I'm tempted to say African-American and African-African, because you've got Lupita and Danai in that movie, right?
Yeah.
And Lupita, and they're as African as we get.
Wait, what's Lupita playing?
I don't know.
I think, because I was like, I think I saw her, but I didn't see her.
I didn't see her in any of the reviews that I was looking at, but I did see her in a lot of the promotions that they did in South Asia. I think they've been in Korea or was it Japan? I'm not sure. But yeah, she's been, you know, moving around with Michael B. Jordan and them for like the past couple of weeks. And
I wouldn't be surprised if she's not even playing that much of a big role. Though, like, yeah, you black, you got the same skin tone, but you ain't American black, so
I don't know. But she's like super seasoned. Oh my god, I'm like, yeah, sure,
of course, she's like, she's Africa who's made it in America,
yeah,
so
I know, she's just, you know, trying to like raise the African flag. I don't know what that is. So yeah, the Black Panther is coming out on Friday. You go to SK and Semilevi and Blawayo. That's the only place that's going to be premiering. If you want to check out all the other cinemas, then you're going to have to wait for after Friday. And the tickets are going for $12. So let's talk more
about
the movie.
But it's showing in Blawayo first?
No, it's showing in Blawayo and at Semilevi at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And
okay.
Then it shows everywhere else. Nana Iskate, Kwanalanga.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, girl. Wow.
Like, I'm also waiting for the Iskate. Like, holla at me, girl.
So if y'all see me at Village, just know.
It's a blessed thing. Like, who pays $12 for a movie?
No,
it better be good.
Well, you'd pay $12 for a Pizza Hut pizza.
Man, talking about pizza. Okay, I'm not a storyteller. I'm not talking about pizza today. So it was directed by Ryan Coogler. Do you know who Ryan Coogler is? I wish he was African.
Girl, I just know movies. I never look at the director. Oh, you know what's funny? Like, people tell me, oh, this actor. I'm like, okay, tell me which movie he acted, because I don't particularly know. And his face is not his name in particular.
But you know what is weird for me is they're trying to create an African superhero movie. And yet the whole team who's working on it is American. How do you achieve that story?
It doesn't work. I mean, then again, like what we were mentioning earlier, how it's, they don't view themselves as African. I feel like to them, Africa's a theme. It's not something serious. Yeah, like it's one of those, oh yeah, let's take that Africa theme and put it into a superhero movie. It's something different. I feel like to them it's not something really serious. Same thing as you find with the whole Nelson Mandela movie. They really could have come to Africa and looked for a legit, they're quite, especially in South Africa, they're good actors. They really could have come and looked for them, but they didn't. Because they think, I feel like with America, they think that they have the global world in one, but they really don't. So they feel like, well, no, we're good enough. We have all types. You know, we've got the Asians, the Africans, which is not even the right kind of Africa.
Yeah, it's like African American. Like, they've been in America for the long
time. Yeah, so I feel like to them, it's a selling scheme. Like, it's, you know, something different, something we can sell. And let's pray that the Africans will feel included for once.
But, you know, it's getting a lot of good reviews online. I was reading an article from The Guardian, and, you know, they actually called it a self-contained marvel.
Wow, I marveled.
I was like, okay. And open codes, warriors, both male and female, fight for control of a vividly African kingdom in this handsome superhero epic. I don't know, Sha. It's just a lot of...
I want
to wait to watch it
same,
and be able to say... Because I remember watching Gods of Egypt and feeling like...
I've never watched it.
I did. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is the worst thing ever because... The king in Egypt was a Caucasian guy. Mm-hmm. And they could have done better. They could have gotten an Arab even if they didn't want an African guy.
But then again, I feel like that one, because already Egyptians don't view themselves
as Africans. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Get an Arab. Get a fucking Arab. Like, show us the proper story.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're going to
but
do
then
so much...
Showing a proper story would be to actually put a black person. Because Egyptians are
black. Oh, my God. And, you know, I was looking at another article that was reviewing, it was comparing, actually, Coming to America and Black Panther and saying, because Coming to America was, like, a big hit, they think that, you know, Black Panther is just going to take the same precedence on that, you know, same... I don't understand. But yeah, I think this is going to be a success for the rest of the world who have not actually been in Africa. Uh-huh. For us, we're just confused, like, what the hell is Wakanda and what is Zamunda? Are those actual words? Where did you find them?
I think I'll actually research and where they got that from.
Yeah, and I also hear that
it's trying to sound Nigerian, but
at the same time, it's trying to sound American. Like, I remember watching Mr. Bones and that fat guy coming up with this weird... I was like, wow.
But you know, I was actually impressed with Mr. Bones because they actually took an African, a Zimbabwean actor.
Well, yeah, Mr. Bones is cool. It's cool like that. And even when he was having to have an American in the film, he included an American. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He didn't just say, okay, let's pick some other guy from Soweto and give him a twang in his accent so that he can sound American.
Exactly.
He just put respect on that whole American level. And
but you know what? I feel like movies like Black Panther, because I remember I was watching on this Instagram video of how, like, it was the black female, black American female actors talking about how, they were complaining, in other words, saying how they want, like, more opportunities and more breakthroughs. And they were talking about the movie Girls Trip. Have you watched Girls Trip?
I have.
Mm-hmm. And how, you know, they just made it, and one of those, you know, oh, you know, you guys, you can finally get a chance, you know, to show. And I think they were saying how the Americans didn't expect it to be that big because it was one of the top movies at that time when it came out. And I think it still is.
It is.
It still is. And it's amazing movie.
I love their marketing.
Exactly.
It was real. Barclays Center and they watched P. Diddy and everybody was like, shit.
It was, I love that. I jizz over it still. Uh-huh. But like, yeah, so I feel like because the Black American actors are kind of trying to voice out.
Mm-hmm.
They are now creating movies like Black Panther to make them feel included. But I feel like, I don't know. It's
another marketing gimmick. They're trying to take number one spot in Hollywood, which they are. They're going to break records.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can imagine how many African Americans are in Africa and how many Africans are across the whole world, generally. Mm-hmm. If everybody, well, not everybody, but if just one third of people in Zimbabwe went and watched Black Panther on Friday, we are going to have staggering, you know, reviews and, you know.
True. Very interesting comments.
Sell out everywhere, yeah. So I was hearing that they actually have actual Xhosa in the movie. And I hope that they do. I'm judging.
Like, I don't know. I feel like it's probably won't even sound like Xhosa, you know.
You know what the funny thing is? Black Panther is carrying over from Captain America's Civil War. And when they did that whole thing, Civil War,
And I kept making the comment, that guy is not speaking an actual African language. Because, well, I'm not as African as the whole 40-something countries, but I know the different dialects that are there. And if they were trying to adapt a South African dialect, it didn't come out right.
And also, I feel like, have you watched? Okay, I forgot what the series is called. But, like, I was watching the series, and it's like an investigation, you know, thing. And then they were looking for some criminal in Zimbabwe. And then they had, I forgot his name. But he's a famous Black American actor, and he was acting as... Because
As a
Zimbabwean, and they were in Chikuru because they're trying to get a Black American.
Wait, I remembered this.
Yeah, they're trying to get like a Black American criminal from Chikurubi prison. And so, and these guys, like, they're sure that I had to pause and be like, yeah. Like, what?
You're like,
Kurumiza, do you know Kurova is Jezi? And I'm like, bruh.
Like, stop playing with me.
Like, are you not ashamed? Nyara, bruh. So, yeah, so.
That's exactly.
And things
what
like that,
scary.
I find it very insulting, to be honest. Like, I mean, okay, probably not as insulting as most other, like, Bakuru, the elderly Shona people will probably be more. I mean, it's just we're used to it. We're used to these films because of our generation.
Do you think that it's misappropriation to a certain extent?
I feel like it is.
So you actually feel like Africans and African Americans are two different races?
They are.
We just have the same
thing
happen, but
yeah, they really are because of mindset. They really are two different. Yeah, I feel like Black Americans have segregated themselves. They are trying not to be American, but they turn out to be Black. I don't know what the fuck they think they're.
They're in this gray spot. I feel like it's not their fault. And I'll be real with you. Mm-hmm. These guys were shipped over to America. Mm-hmm. They didn't vote for it. Mm-hmm. You know, you get there and you're looked down upon. They still are being looked down upon. And I will agree that, you know, the methods in which they're trying to emancipate themselves are not working to their advantage. Mm-hmm. But it's very difficult for them to reconnect with us. And at the same time, they're in an environment that will not allow for them to just be.
I get what you mean, but my point is, are you trying? Because, I mean, look at Roots, the movie.
Yeah.
You have Kunta Kinte, right? He is someone who tried so hard to keep his roots, to keep his origin. He tried to pass it on. But you find there were other slaves then were like, bruh, give it up.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. And I mean, I get it, because at the same time, trying to maintain your origin was going to get you whacked. It was going to, you know, it was just going to disadvantage your life. But then at the same time, my point is, if there were people who actually listened to Kunta Kinte, people who actually tried to drag the origin, fine, it may not always be as authentic now, but if there was just some parts and groups, because I feel like now I've never recognized an actual Black American who is still trying to carry that root.
Oh, they do. They give their children names like Lakeisha.
No, I mean authentically.
Like, she don't make sense, but they're like, this is African, it's against.
How's it African?
I don't know. That's what they say.
You see what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't, because they have been brainwashed, but I feel like they've allowed themselves to be brainwashed, to be genuinely honest.
I don't know. Do you realize there's a psychology between somebody getting abused by somebody and falling in love with their abuser? Like, you get to an extent where you are dependent.
I feel like
that's the case.
I feel like that's abuse.
Yeah.
When you then get to a point where you fall in love
with that abuser.
With that abuse. It's the same thing as domestic violence. Why most women won't leave, even if she's being beaten to the point where she's getting career ranges, because she's fallen in love. To her, she's like, I deserve it. It's out of love.
So this
I feel
is
like
what has happened to you know, Africans that were sent to America. Literally, if you put two different people in one room, they will walk out of that room saying, I wish I had chakati cha ningi. I don't know if you get what I mean. There's so much cultural misappropriation. This is why Black people are constantly trying to dye their hair, have lemon on their face, make themselves lighter, you know, have longer lashes on all of this. And you've got white Caucasian people who are curling their hair
and you know they're toning their skin so that you can just, I don't know but if now, what I mean.
Okay.
There's a lot of exchange.
The whole of dyeing your hair, longer lashes, don't you think now that it's not necessarily trying to look like the white people, but don't you think it's also mostly out of insecurity? Obviously, of insecurity of being black.
Yeah, who would
but mostly
that is, where
insecurity.
Is it greeted, that insecurity? Because now you're thinking, wow, that hair looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you say that, but you cannot say to yourself, my hair is nice mm-hmm. as well,
mm-hmm.
and you want your hair to look like that,
mm-hmm.
you've abandoned who you are, in essence.
I guess so, in its own way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess, I feel like it's how you look at it, because I feel like there's a very thin line between denying yourself
and admiring the next
person. And you know, just genuinely you just being insecure. It's a very thin line between that.
Okay, moving over. Kendrick Lamar is working on the cover track for
like
for the background. It's called The Score. It's mm-hmm. it's featuring somebody with a name I cannot pronounce.
Do you know a funny fact?
What?
So I think the other day I was watching, was it Channel O or Sound City?
Uh-huh.
I think it was between the two, and they were talking about how this whole soundtrack
mm-hmm.
and how there is, they say, a South African artist featuring
mm-hmm.
but you know what's funny
mm-hmm.
the version of the song where he's featuring mm-hmm. is not the one that's in the movie. It's just Kendrick Lamar.
What?
Yeah,
for real?
Yeah, like there's a version where this featuring a South African artist.
Wow.
I forgot his name. He's got dreadlocks though, and yeah, but in the movie he's not the one who's featuring. It's some black American, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But my point is, the actual African is not featuring
in the actual movie.
Soundtrack of the actual
which
movie.
Which just, you know,
I don't know, for me, I don't know, food for thought.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm just like,
And Kendrick is saying that, you know, his visit to South Africa in 2014 is the one that inspired for him to write To Pimp a Butterfly and all of that, because he was trying to, he says, and I think get this from a lot of Americans, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, who've seen what they've done in the past. They come to Africa and, you know, originally, because things are different here than they are back at their home,
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
right? And they feel like, this is what I really belong to, or this is what resonates the most with me. And so that's why they picked Kendrick, because of that experience and how it has shaped his music. Even, you know, that song
Touché,
about
King
Kunta and stuff like that.
I don't know. I feel like it's still like a joke to these people. Like, it's the same thing as how, you know, a lot of people, Mario, his song Distance, I love the song, by the way, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
how he shot his video in, was it Kenya? South Africa?
No, I don't know.
But it was home in Africa, and how people were like, found that as an insult. Could you only want to come to Africa to shoot your video and then act like you're in touch with your roots? Just because you know it's going to make a good video, but you're not out here in these streets trying to, you know, proudly show that you're African. Like, people.
But he's not African, though.
He ain't white,
he's
girl.
Black like Africans, but he's not African. He's African American.
That's my point. That's what I'm talking about, Kuti. The people were saying you're black American. You really don't portray yourself or try to, you know, as someone who is in touch with his African roots,
mm-hmm.
identity.
Mm-hmm.
But then you wanna come out in these streets, shoot your distance video in Africa, mm-hmm. wear the whole, because he wears like a whole, you know,
stuff,
and then you want to act like you're suddenly in touch with your African self,
mm-hmm.
but only as a marketing strategy for your song.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a marketing strategy. Well, if critics say that they hope the Black Panther will help Africa and America meet halfway,
they're
I don't
wrong.
Know where halfway is.
Exactly. I feel like you're only causing more tension.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be more tension. All right, that is it from the buzz today. Up next is the trumpet.
Hi, my name is Chenny Sanili and I'm a marketer. You're tuned into The Hangover with the Queen Dre. Please keep tuned in.
Welcome to the trumpet, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't even know if that's the trumpet song.
Oh my word. Oh my word. I'm the worst co-host.
You just had to.
I bet you were playing the song the whole time. You're like,
the trumpet's there. got on, girl?
Oh, yeah. So this week we're talking about the history of music and dance in the club scene. Where did music start, you know, being played, you know, in clubs, and where has it grown to, and all of that? What is happening, and where is it going? How is it developed? And we look at, you know, the types of dances that were also used with whatever music was being played or was popular at that time.
Yeah.
So, according to my source, the first club, yeah, I don't know where this source gets the information, but the first club is recorded to be in 1886 in the United States of America.
Yeah.
It was a place called Webster Hall, which was a social hall for dance and for political activism events.
I think I read about the Webster Hall in my history.
Wow.
And I was doing history. Yeah.
Wow, you did good, my girl.
Don't ask me what I go for history.
You were thinking about the clubs the whole time. You're like, shit, I want to go to Webster Hall.
Break
what am
it
I
off.
Still doing in here?
Break off my back.
Yes. That's what you're looking up to. So between 1900 and the 1920s, there's what was called honky tonks or juke joints, where people played to piano or jukebox. And this was mostly working class, American working class, and they were mostly youths. So, you know, after work, you go to some place, you know, there's a piano or a jukebox, and you just
shut
hit it out. Yeah. Just like that. And in 1912, the Cave, which was in the basement of the Gruen World Hotel in New Orleans, became, you know, one of the first nightclubs in that area. And so now it makes sense to me why there are all these clubs at hotels. I never understood why you would have a hotel and
is
then
there,
build a club.
Are they clubs?
Yeah.
Are there hotels in Zoom that have clubs?
You know New Ambassador Hotel?
Uh-uh.
They have that New Ambassador Hotel right by Kwame Nkrumah. It has a club right next to it.
Really?
That Roomba Club.
Oh, even, you know what? Come think of it. Even Jameson, you know how like
yeah.
the Kayang
the
club
bar engine. Exactly. And then they've got the other one that's inside, which is a jazz bar, I think.
Mm.
And then you find in Blawayo, Rainbow Hotel has the basement. And I guess it's everywhere you go. There's casinos, there's bars, there's whatever
there's
you want, you name it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they even have malls nowadays. Well,
yeah.
In the first world country, that is. In Zimbabwe, yeah. We have food.
Dreams of bread and pizza. Nah, shame, we'll get there.
We're better than these motherfuckers. So in February of 1933, after the prohibition of clubs, which I think lasted for like 10 years, you know, that's when we see a lot of clubs sprouting, like New York's 21 Club, Copacabana, El Morocco, and the Stock Club. But get this, all of these clubs were just coming up for like 20, 30, 40 years, but there were no DJs. It was literally walking into one of the lights and there were no turntables. It was. Oh my god.
There was no DJ booth.
How do you know it's time
there
to
was
twerk?
Not going to flirt for the DJ. No, girl.
Sor.
Flag you later.
But how do you know it's time to twerk without the DJ say? Why poor DJ?
I feel like generally music tells you what to do. I don't understand people say I can't dance. Like, the song kind of tells you what
it
to
does,
do, though.
Yeah, it does.
So I feel like you just get in there and when the beat is changing, your back
you
just
starts
to flip
exactly.
Up.
So, oh my word. So yeah, there were no DJ. And the kind of music that was being played was jazz, there was swing music, there was live bands, there was bebop, and jitterbug. And you will see that most of this music was banned in Europe because of Germany control. They didn't want anything to do with American influence. So they're like, no.
Cheer to that guy. Everything he said, no, guys.
Yeah, he's just
saying
no to everything. That guy was the devil.
Tell him I want to wear a short skirt, though, you know.
No.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I want to have a baby boy. I'll tell you, no. You ain't having shit. So the first PA system and DJ ever came in 1970. This is like after 80 years of clubbing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no DJ, no PA system, nothing. You just, I don't know what these guys are playing to, but it must have been really good.
For them to wait 80 damn years.
80 years before you get your first DJ.
Before you got someone.
How do you know which club to go to?
I don't know, man. I feel like that was a stressful I don't know.
Stressful era.
I don't know.
They didn't even but then know again, what options
like,
they had.
I feel like those people turned up.
They did.
I'm sure they really did.
I'm pretty sure my grandma was part of those people.
My uncle, he would tell me stories of his clubbing life.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, bruh, you had the time of your life, though.
Yeah, he did.
They really did. Because they would close, like they would have clubs in the afternoon. Uh-huh. And they'd close at like 6 and then wow. clean up. And wow. then open up again at night. And I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah, but I think it happened to a lot of people during their... Well, when I was growing up, there's a lot of people who had these... And my Friday, she go to which school. Even like in boarding school, you knew my Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's. I think that's the whole aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how... That's the concept. It's pretty much the same thing, right?
I think so.
But it's now different in clubs, because in clubs you guys are high as fuck. You don't know who you're with. You just
true, like, true. But then again, those guys still did weed. Then again, because yo, my uncle's doing. But I feel
we
like
we need to have your uncle on the show.
He need. You know what? I'ma get him hooked up. But I feel like then being high was. Not because that's the only way you're going to enjoy clubbing, but that's generally what you want to do. Because
that's the feeling that you're trying to attain.
Trying to attain. I feel like back then, you could still have your fun sober.
But
I don't know. Because now, you know, getting to a club sober, you may not particularly survive. I mean, I'll tell you for once, like, I'm trying to... I don't know if I should confess my sins.
Bring it on, girl. No judging.
I need some Mary J before
you get the club.
You know what I'm saying?
Like the coach to do the things.
But I feel like that's only to clear your mind, so you're only focused on having a good time.
Because
you're not trying to focus
like,
on shit. Did you blind me? But he blew me.
Anyway,
you know.
Anyway, it's very so possible. Landlord, and I'm still on the rap again.
What is it? Muzmain, and the Sianda Bira Maria,
yeah. So, according to my source, disco has its roots in the underground club scene. During the early 1970s in New York City, disco clubs were places where oppressed or marginalized groups, such as homosexuals, blacks, Latinos, Italian Americans, and Jews, could party without following male to female dance protocol or exclusive club policies. Discotheques had a law where every three men, there was one woman. This shifted the idea of this post-heterosexist community, as women would be seen as a kind of gateway for men to advance their own experience without fear of being harassed under the male-to-male dancing law. With the rise of the black female diva, is the overwhelmingly gay fandom that latched onto the music that would be the base of disco. Although the culture that surrounded disco was progressive in dance couples, cross-genre music, and a push to put the physical over the rational, the role of female bodies looked to be placed in the role of safety net. It brought together people from all walks of life and backgrounds, and these clubs acted as safe havens for homosexual partygoers to dance in peace and away from public scrutiny. This just, you know, when I was going through these notes, I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that, because I was at a certain place over the weekend and I see these two guys dancing together.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep staring at them.
Wait, what kind of dancing?
They were throwing us with dancing, bruh.
Like,
they were dancing together.
Like, no, it's like, was one breaking off his back for the other?
Were they
doing my clag? What were they doing?
I'm trying to remember. Girl, don't do this.
No, because I'm trying to visualize also.
They were dancing, but I don't understand, because I saw four other guys dancing together, mm-hmm. and they had their backs to each other. Mm-hmm. So I just passed by, and I see these two. They were so into it.
Mm-hmm.
I said...
So it was like intimate dancing, basically.
It was. Mm-hmm. And I say, what is happening? She comes out, she's bored my gate in it. I'm like, whoa.
Do you know a friend of mine was like, I was a plus one and I saw a gate on, and I'm like, eh? Like, okay, I haven't been to plus in a while,
mm-hmm.
but when I was there, I never saw a gate. But then people always told me about stories about guys tapping other guys' asses, and I don't know. Is there really? I feel like there's a low key gay club in Zim.
No,
it's starting to sprout out.
I think all of these things are starting to come out because we even have massage parlors that offer sex now.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, so people are becoming more freer. And I don't know what happened with our new president. But I think because...
I feel like it's been going on. But because President Robert Mugabe is gone, Zimbabweans are more...
relaxed.
Are more comfortable, yeah. Are more vocal. Because, uh-huh. You know, there's not much consequences. But I feel like... it's still undercover because our culture, more than anything, yeah. Is what's really giving people that shame. It's not even about presidency. It's genuinely culture. You can't be out in these streets, you know, yeah. Putting on lipstick and you a nigga.
No, you can't do that, definitely. I think also because we're a conservative culture. Mm-hmm. So, unotonyara
wega.
You know, this is not cool or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just got me wondering... how bad was the social scene, you know, to a point where outcasts had to make their own fun? And I think they made the better fun because you find that they had these underground clubs, which then brought about these beautiful women and they brought about, they had their own type of fashion that they would wear. And they also started to do cross genres. So they were mixing two genres. And they even created a new genre called disco at that time. And I'm thinking, all right, this is something that somebody who's regarded an outcast has created. And everybody loves it, regardless of who you're sleeping with. So does it really matter who you're sleeping with at the end of the day?
No, I feel like this whole social scene and everything, it's something that is way deep-rooted and we don't even realize it. Like, because it's very interesting how, like, you know, you were saying that the nightclub started because of outcasts. And now it's the in thing. Like, if you're not you've never been to a club, people are like, what?
Which planet are you
from? Like, Felicia, get to life or not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's really interesting. But I think it then brings a realization on how deep this whole social scene is really, it's so deep rooted. Because, I mean, if you're telling me, Guti, you know, a nightclub and one, people who are regarded as, you know, outcasts, the nobodies. And now it's evolved.
Everybody,
now,
yeah. Everybody goes.
Nah, yeah. Like, we're
I'm
now,
pretty sure you can find Barack Obama in the nightclub.
Now we're evolving it into something that's trendy.
Yeah. But which is for everybody. And yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very interesting, man.
It is. So, the current setup that we have in a bar, you know how it is when you walk in and there's all these dark flashing lights and there's the DJ at the
top. Some clubs are a bit too bright, eh? Okay, not club, but
how for, dancing.
For me, Inagi's a bit, not that I'm ashamed to like do my thing in the light, but like for me, Inagi's is a bit too bright for my life.
No, but Inagi's also like always too crowded.
Not anymore, actually.
Sorry.
Yeah, apparently... It's not all that lit anymore. Like, I think, but now I'm a... Okay, the last time I went, I was high, but it was quite spacious. And I was like, it's not because we're like, it's spacious, because there's no one.
But I think, you know, for me, that's when a place starts to make sense to me. Because I'm not just going there because everybody is there. I want to go there because there's a certain experience. And the experience that I want definitely is not of having guguma mono from the door right to the back. I'm like, where should I stand? Where do I sit?
But I think now the question is, what are we defining as an experience? Because now you find most people, for example, Inakis, people are like, Inakis is dry because it's not baked. Because I'm good to man on your shoulders. Do you get what I mean? So now my question is, what are we calling? Are we calling experience? There's so many people. People are crowded. People are dancing on top of each other. Or is experience chilling, having your own space, having no pressure? I think it then brings about that question, what are we defining as experience? And I feel like from my point of view, experience is very experience is very, you know, it's according, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty subjective. But I'm just saying, this is what I prefer. You know, I would prefer for every club to just be clear on how many people they can allow in. To be honest, for me.
But then again, I mean, if we're looking at the history you just gave us, I mean, if it was just... Okay, I'm focusing on the outcast. That's the part that captured me, the outcast.
You're an outcast, bitch.
No shame. Anyway, I feel like outcast, I'm going to wonder. Best believe those clubs were packed as hell. So I feel like we're not driving too far from these three.
So I probably, well, if I was in this era, mm-hmm. I probably would have been the person going to the male and female section, like where people have order and everything.
Yeah, but that's if you're considered as bougie in Africa to get in.
I don't know, man. Like, with all this bleaching, I could just wake up white. Ooh, with brown eyes.
Diggas! I don't know how I'm gonna dig that, but okay.
So the current setup as we know it in clubs was founded in a place called the Whiskey A Go-Go, which was founded in 1947 by a person called Regine in 1953, who laid down a dance floor, suspended colored lights, and replaced the jukebox with two turntables that she operated herself so there would be no breaks between
hold up,
the music.
Hold up. Say time the first DJ was female.
Yes.
Been waiting
yes.
for this. Shit all these niggas.
So she innovated. She innovated, wow. You know, in a way that...
Wait, what's her name?
Regine.
I just might call my daughter
for the turntable.
I didn't get my dream.
I know you would do it. She didn't even fight. But yeah, she innovated this space, and you know, how many years later, we're still doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's the DJ with the turntables and everything.
But what's sad is there are very few female DJs. And yet, the one who started this gig is a female.
It's a female. I don't know. I think when it comes to how many female DJs we have against male DJs, it in Zimbabwe, it comes back to a point of saying, how many women grew up in a place that says you can have this profession, number one. Number two, how many women actually say, I want this?
I feel like it's more of how many women are stubborn enough
to just do it.
To do it.
Yeah.
Because
here you're always going to be finding, guitar.
And I feel like with our culture, being a DJ, it's involved with prostitution,
yeah, it is.
Drugs. So then, time I want to be a DJ. You know, prostitution.
Yeah.
Bawa.
I think people still don't look at Bawa life in a good light.
Like, I know for an instant, for listen to what I'm saying for example.
You know for a fact.
English, it kind of.
I never loved you.
I know for a fact, like, if I'm to mention to, like, one of my aunties that, you know, I'm going Ikubawa, they have, like, old men all over me in their head. Yeah. Like, that's what they're visualizing, yeah. You know.
And you get old. There and you find people way younger than you and they're just having a good time.
Bruh, you got, like, 4 months.
Why are you here?
Who let you out?
Why are you here?
Do you know who you are?
Exactly. So let's go over the history of dancing very, very quickly. There was something called swing dancing. I don't know if you follow old-time music, but there's this dance where you throw your hands and you hold the next person and you swing. And
isn't that more related to country music? I've seen that happen, but with the country.
It's related to piano swing dance music.
Oh.
It was literally the one that you when you're listening to Tom and Jerry and mm-hmm. that piano set mm-hmm. is what people used to dance to.
So it's like
a
really fast swing.
It was a fat swing. Oh my word.
Uh-huh.
Those guys didn't need drugs. And what followed after that was something called go-go dancing.
What's that?
I have no idea.
What's that?
I literally had this picture of Akon in my mind talking about a go-go dancer.
Google that shit. What is that?
You know go-go dancers, right?
No.
Yeah, the go-go dancers at some one point. And, well, Google it. You'll see. this was in the 1950s. Between 1960s and 1970s, then started rock and roll. I think this is when bands became famous and, you know, they just controlled how people moved. And it was mostly the head and the legs just gyrating on the dance floor.
Could we safe? Okay, not safely, but could we low-key say that that's kind of where EDM started?
Exactly. Because
rock for me is just electrical music.
And then after that came disco music as a genre, and I think people had a way of...
What is disco music?
Disco music is the... Teen, 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 teen. I don't know if you get what I mean.
Girl.
Disco, alright, I want you to find yourself, close your eyes, imagine you're in a club.
Mm-hmm.
There are lights,
mm-hmm.
The lights are just everywhere, they're colorful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this very high-sounding, almost like a cymbal sound.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also like to my drums and percussion at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows for you to move the area which is about on your waist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you get what I'm saying. All these types of music, and they would control
like some high shit.
Yeah, it could be some high shit. But I'm also trying to imagine when the islands controlled music.
I think that's when dancehall came about.
No, it was way before dancehall.
Really? Which islands? Because for me, when I think of, I'm thinking Bahamas, Caribbean.
Yeah, go. But come on, Bob Marley did not sing dancehall. He sang reggae, and those guys.
But there's a very
whining.
Thin line between dancehall and reggae.
But dancehall is like electrical. Reggae is mostly acoustic.
Look, true, but I'm just saying. I feel like dancehall kind of takes
from.
Reggae, low-key.
Yeah. It's a developed.
Edited reggae for me, personally. Because you find some of the songs that's called reggae. I'm like, so with the dancehall, what's the difference? You know what I mean? I feel like there's a very thin line.
It's a very thin line. Oh, yeah, there was something called touch dancing at some point. I'm trying to imagine people touching their boobs or chest or whatever. That's probably what...
you don't even want to know what I'm thinking about.
No. Go home. You're done for today.
PG.
And there's something also called hustle and cha-cha-cha.
Okay, I know cha-cha.
Yeah.
I know about hustle.
And I think around 1990s, that's when we had the cabbage dances and the jump, 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 Chris Ross will make it jump, 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 jump. And all of that. So, wow. This is how music has developed over the centuries. I think starting from 1886 and today we're in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
People are still dancing, and clubs have become like an international, or rather one global village.
It really
is.
The difference
is, you know, the type of music that is played the most in a certain place, but you find that it's more or less the same. Especially here in Zim, where you have so many cultures. You've got house, you've got EDM, you've got trap, dancehalls, the trap,
you've
the hip hop,
Jamaican dancehall,
R&B. You've got everything.
Shout out to Jamaican dancehall.
Your face is lit.
That is me, girl.
I'm seeing you on that work tip.
Dancehall music, turn up.
Yeah, so that is that from the trumpet this week. Up next is withdrawal symptoms.
Hey, the name is Kumbirai. The other name is Marcus. Well, so many names. That's another story for another day. So, the hustle. Oh, the hustle basically is more like we're out there trying to put the brand out there and trying to put your brand, whatever brand that's out there, to be out there. So, check out the Queen Dre on The Hangover and chill out and do enjoy each and every moment, for she got you. Queen Dre, what's up, eh?
Welcome to Withdrawal Symptoms, everybody. So, today I'm going to start off with something a bit unconventional. There is Zimbabwe National Youth Awards 2018 edition hosted by the Global Shapers Harare Hub on Friday the 2nd of March, and this will be at HICC Jacaranda Room. It's $23 to get in, and registration closes on the 18th of February 2018. So if you want to book your place for next month, which is on the 2nd of March, the number to get in touch with, I think, is 0774-22311. Yes. So, coming back to this week, and we're just going to look into something that, well, everybody's been anticipating. Rufaro Chisanyamu has a Valentine's special Red Hot Friday with DJ Clive, and there are vouchers to be won courtesy of Rufaro Lifestyle Hair and Beauty Studio. So pull up on Friday. I think it'll be the 17th, or is it the 16th?
Yeah,
on Friday. Just go to Rufaro Chisanyama on the 16th and, you know, see what happens. You'll get a free voucher to win.
You have to have a partner. Right? No? Yeah?
Yes, I guess you have to have a partner. No, for those of us that don't have partners, God. Yeah, you can go. Just try your luck.
I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of overrated having a partner.
Oh, my word. These are the outcasts we're talking about.
No, because to be technically honest with you, you may be in a relationship, but you just might be single
at the same time. If your bae is not with you on Valentine's, then bae is with bae.
What is a bae?
I don't even want to go there. But yeah, there's also the premiere for The Black Panther at SK Semlevi and SK Blawayo. $12 to get you in. You might want to book your tickets way before, because I have a feeling it's going to be like, you know, spilling over.
Wait, quick question. When is 50 Shades Freed showing?
It did show on last weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
But like,
was it showing this? No, I think it did, because I saw a picture from on Instagram or something.
Is it? Is it still showing?
Yeah, it is, definitely.
Okay. I think I'll watch that one before Black Panther.
Hey, okay.
Yeah, just get your sex now.
You was a freak. I see you. Oh, yeah. So Winnie Kumalo is coming to Zimbabwe, and she'll be playing at the venue in Avondale. So she's live in concert featuring Afri Cherry, Brian K, and Reverb Servant on the 23rd of February 2018.
How many? Okay, can I ask you this question? What? How many people do you think know Winnie?
Is she the Mutoro girl?
The what?
The mind one am
Mutoro. I don't know who is. Isn't that girl Zimbabwean?
Yeah, but no, the guy is Zimbabwean.
Not the
guy
girl?
Wrote the song, and Winnie sang Shona.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So she, I think she's got a latest.
But that's
song
my question. Like, how many people know it's Winnie who sang that song? I swear to you, most people are thinking like me, who think it's a black, who think it's a Zim chick.
It's a Zim chick. But I guess that's why they booked the venue, because, well.
I promise you, people will probably just go for. I would personally go for Reba.
Right. You wouldn't go for Brian K?
He's cool. Nah, he's a cool nigga. I've actually met him a few times. He's cool. He's good. So, yeah. But
he's good, but I like the old Brian K, the one who sang Marunjea.
Okay, what's the new one like?
The new one is like Maggie.
Maggie.
You heard that song?
I know that song.
I don't like it. I like a Juice or a Soda, and I like Heavy Machine. But that, the old Brian.
Like, I feel like Maggie, you know what? That those songs with a girl name on it, yeah, I'm just over
them. They don't want
to be. I think the only one I actually liked was Vimbai.
Who sang Vimbai?
I don't know. Some okay, he's a Zim guy. I think he's
Vimbai.
Based in America.
Oh, Vimbai.
No.
Okay. There's another Vimbai.
That's an old Vimbai.
Yeah, that's
the only Vimbai. That's like Kudara. There's one. I think he's based in America.
And so I just say Vimbai.
I liked the video. What she was and was not doing well.
It's none of your business.
Truly, it is.
You just want the opportunity to do the same thing.
So I don't know. I feel like I would personally go for Reverb, even though I respect those guys.
Okay, yeah, Reverb is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And also at Inaki's on Saturday, we've got a Valentine's edition featuring Brian K, DJ I Rock, DJ Sachi, and Stan Splash.
Oh, DJ Sachi from Mutare.
Yeah, Sachi's playing. I think he's become the resident DJ with IROC and what's the other guy's name?
Really?
Yeah.
I never particularly liked that nigga. Anyway, it's getting a bit personal. Okay, hi Sachi.
Big up.
Bless all.
And this is one of my favorite bars in Harare, but I've never been there.
Okay, girl, how, before I even say the name, like, put some respect. How do you even like it if you've been there?
I like it for the tribe. It's like.
Okay, which one is it?
The horse box.
I don't even know where that is. I don't know where that is.
I don't know. It's somewhere up there.
Do you know what? I feel like I'm so stuck to the popular places. I need to go.
Thank you.
I really do.
The Horsebox is
craft beer, craft gin.
They've got a sushi bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
It sounds expensive and bougie.
It's pretty bougie, but
how
I think...
How bougie? Because I'm not bougie.
No, if I can go there, trust me, it's not that bougie.
She said it.
We're the outcast. Remember. Always remember. But yeah, I totally, totally love the Horse Box.
Where is it?
I don't know.
And
Google.
So you know what? If anyone from there is listening, they should ban you. Because you can't be out in these streets saying you like it.
But I do. Have you seen their Facebook?
No. So you like it because of its pictures?
No. Because of all these nice events they have that I never actually get to go to.
Guys, do you realize how crazy she sounds?
It's a nice place to enjoy. So, on Saturday the 17th of February from 2 p.m., it's $10 to get in. There's a summer loving edition. I don't know, something about finding love in the summer.
I guess. It's raining.
Lao doesn't trust that shit. She's not.
People are like cheating in this rain. Anyone is finding love.
Ain't nobody kissing in the rain.
Nah, people are kissing someone else's day in the rain. I'm gonna tell you that. People are hitting each other up like, yo.
Oh my word. So if you get there between 2 and 6, you get cocktail specials. There's pop up food stalls by Oso Sushi.
Is it free?
Gourmet, bra.
Is it free?
Just get a place and stop asking this question.
No, because I actually would like to pass through.
No, so it's not free.
How much is it?
To get in, it's $10.
Guys, there's a plug the coming weekend. I'm sorry.
And Jen's hot tacos as well, so...
I ain't trying to miss a plug for this place. Sorry.
There's going to be live music coming from Tony Vass, Jam Signal, and Beats and Strings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice place to go to. I don't know if I want to go to Unplugged, because the last Unplugged had so many people in it.
Well, it's festive season. Did you expect to see two people?
Yeah, guys? I would have said that. At least when you know a lot of people are going to come, book the National Stadium.
Well, it was in Wingate?
Yeah.
Where? Yeah.
It was in that other
place. I mean, I went.
Pomona. Was it Pomona?
Yeah, it's because Wingate is near Pomona.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That place I think now
they need to find bigger venues, because now Unplugged has, they have, I actually would like to commend them. They've created something.
A vibe, yeah.
They've created a really good vibe for themselves, and they made themselves so popular, and like everyone knows Unplugged. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes to Unplugged. Mm-hmm. People come from Bulawayo to go to Unplugged. People, you know what I mean? So
The first one in Shabani, I think. Last year they went to Blawai as well. So I think they're trying to expand outside and just see what the market is.
And
like
I think they should, because I think they've done very well for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where the next... I think it's at Wingate again. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Because the next one's on the 24th.
Of February. True.
I haven't seen the flyer.
I don't know. Yeah, I saw the calendar that they posted in January.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do feel like they need to find a bigger venue now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've done so well for themselves, and they've attracted so many people.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, because for real, it was disgusting. Do you know, driving out that place, I was quite not dowed, but yeah, it was apparently hectic. There was so much traffic, and so yeah.
I can't believe this.
But it may not be as packed, because that was festive season, mm-hmm. So I really wasn't too surprised. But yeah, I think they should.
I'm just hoping that everybody's still in January DC so that we have an intimate group.
Nah, people were saving from their January pay to go to Unplugged. Guys, it's $10. If you do $1 a day, Mandri is it. You will get something. Not one I can drink besides.
Oh my word, that was it from me, the Queen Dre, and Lala.
Lala, yo girl.
Yeah, and we hope to hear from you next week as we go through more exciting and interesting
topics.
And
I'm going to be with you more and more, so get ready.
Yeah. Peace.
Bye. And now, Capital 263.